Helplessness is such a bad feeling. Sitting so far away in the UK, I was just talking to my parents and friends, looking at WhatsApp forwards, trying to follow the news, but not being able to do anything about it actually on the ground. All I could do was maybe pray a little harder and hope every single person was safe and get through this crisis as easily as possible. I don't know, see, the lack of words, because these are not things that happen every day, and when it happens, it creates a lot of havoc. Hey everyone, my name is Pratyusha Parkala and welcome to my podcast Prana Cafe, a podcast that talks about environment and sustainability with a lot of hope and optimism. And this week we are talking about the scary, horrible rains and floods that my home city Hyderabad, which is a landlocked rocky capital of the southern state of Telangana in India, has been battling this week. Humans, they have a unique quality. Sometimes it acts as a blessing and sometimes a curse. That is memory. When you have an embarrassing moment or a bad relationship, it's good to forget and move on with life. But sometimes it is good to remember the mistakes we committed, the suffering we lived through, and the struggle it caused us. Because if we don't remember and rectify our actions, then obviously we are bound to repeat those mistakes and suffer even more. Okay, I understand that maybe now is not the time to intellectualize and psychoanalyze what is happening, and I promise I won't go into too many details. But there are some initial thoughts and research, and before we move on with our regular lives, it'll be good to pause for a second and see the learnings. Like, just a couple of months ago, there were floods in the national capital, Delhi. Now forgotten. And Mumbai floods, cyclones in Kolkata, floods in Assam and Bihar, all erased from memory until another disaster strikes, and that makes the headlines. So today we will talk specifically about Hyderabad, and I'll shake up your memory just a little bit. This was the year 2000. People were celebrating the new year, and some of them were worrying about the Y2K problem, and there were computers, life as usual, everything was beautiful till the August of 2000. And it was monsoon season. Just that year, the rainfall was 13 times the average in monsoons, and this caused flash floods. And there is this area in Hyderabad called Mushirabad Nala, and authorities released rainwater from the Hussain Sagar Lake in the early morning hours without giving any prior notice. And this was to avoid breaching of the tank bund. Now, what this led to was waterlogging, and it rendered about 5,000 people from poor families in 20 colonies around this area, like Gandhinagar, Ashoknagar, all the surrounding areas, homeless. It was unexpected. By the time the city of Hyderabad woke up the next morning, there was a large-scale disaster. Now, this was unplanned and it happened in 2000. Maybe you were too young, or you must have just forgotten about it, or you didn't know how severe that was. Fine, this was 2000, but not so far in the past, but only 4 years ago. This time, the year 2016. This was the first week of September. There were some unexpected, unnatural heavy rains. Because of that, the schools were shut down for a week and life was a bit of a standstill. But after this 1 week, things were almost going back to normal. That is when a second wave hit Hyderabad. From the 21st of September onwards, a heavy downpour started, and this time it was 23 times the daily average rainfall in monsoon season. And this was because of some depression that happened over Bay of Bengal and led to Hyderabad coming to a standstill for 4 days. And I'm going to quote the government of the day, which said, "There are 28,000 encroachments on nalas in Hyderabad, and some of them even in government complexes. And we need a huge 11,000 crore rupees and 3 to 4 years time to rectify and remove them. 3 to 4 years are over. I'm sure there was a lot of money spent, a lot of good, well-intentioned people, well-researched people, hard-working people worked on it. But as of today, we still haven't solved the problem. And that is where we come to 2020, this week. The rains were scary as hell. People living in pakka buildings, roofs on top of their heads, they were scared. I know my parents, my friends, they were messaging each other in the group chats and figuring out if the night will be okay, if everyone's just going to make it through. Now think about all the homeless people, all the people living in communities without a proper house, without a proper shelter, low-lying areas. What about food and electricity? And with this whole COVID scare and all the rain and chaos, people running from pillar to post, where do they go? What do they do? And authorities, of course, as a matter of precaution, shut down power supply to prevent any electrocution. And at home, we didn't have cable network or power, which is, of course, the least of the concerns as compared to health and sanitation. But being so used to learning about the world from TV and phone and being disconnected and off the grid for a whole day, that was also a challenge which put people out of balance. Let me not even get started on this whole topic of traffic jams and how our roads do not have the capacity to function even with a slight disruption or imbalance. Now, people who didn't have any place to go and people whose houses were flooded with water, the situation is still very grim in Hyderabad. Now, while I was watching the debates on TV and updating myself at the WhatsApp University, they were only talking about government failure with the water and drain management or the slum dwellers and encroachment of nalas. While that definitely plays a big part, it is not just that, right? It has to be something more than that. Why did such a heavy downpour, a cloudburst, happen in mid-October? Isn't this almost moving into winter season and the time monsoon left India? But what about the climate change? That is also happening around us. And are we choosing not to address climate change, but just focus and point fingers at something that is immediately in front of you? So here I am trying to address some more aspects of the Hyderabad rains. The first thing is, of course, environment and climate change. So how did this rainfall happen? When Earth gets heated up more than normal, more water is evaporated, which comes down intensely in short intervals, like a cloudburst. This is not the poetic, book and coffee, sham ko pakode khayenge wala rain, but intense downpours. And a few things we all need to think about is, are there enough plants that can soak up the rainwater and recharge groundwater? No. Because we choose to construct our houses to the last inch, not leaving any place for plants, and then encroach onto pavements, chop down trees because that is where you want to park your cars and bikes, and then expand some more. Another thing is, you don't see any open soil anywhere because it's all a concrete jungle, not really much of an open space or parks where water, it can settle onto topsoil and then sink into the ground. And then, of course, the flood channels and tanks. These are always mostly encroached upon, and the lakes are also shrinking. So even when the water drains from the roads, where is the outlet? Where will it go to? It's obviously coming to our communities and our houses because that is where the lakes were supposed to be. Now let's discuss a little about the history and geography of Hyderabad, starting with Musi River, which is almost synonymous to the word drainage now, but it is actually the name of a river. Doesn't sound real, right? The river which was the artery of Hyderabad, the drinking water supply of Hyderabad, when the city was built 4 centuries ago. And then the year 1908 happened, when there were severe floods in the Musi River, killing thousands of people and creating a lot of havoc. After this, Sir Vishveshwaraya, he was sent by the British government to the Nizam of Hyderabad saying, okay, let's remodel this entire system and build an effective bund. This was constructed in the year 1930. At one point, it had an excellent drainage system and the entire system was falling into a rhythm. But since 1930, there have been so many encroachments on the canal, on the entire drainage system, that it almost became ineffective. And so in the last 70 to 80 years, since Sir Vishveshwaraya constructed this bund, there have been not many changes. No significant innovative reorientation of the drainage system. As our city has grown and buildings have grown, the population has grown, and there have been so many encroachments. On the other side, the canal system, the drainage system of Hyderabad, hasn't seen a lot of improvement. So that led to a lot of mismanagement and not so sustainable development. Now that leads me to another angle of discussing politics and development in this whole Hyderabad rains and flood scenario. Hyderabad, just like Bengaluru, was once a city of lakes. It was beautiful, there was a lot of water supply, but over the past two decades, as we moved from being just a tier 2 city to a major IT center, a lot of growth and development happened. This led to water bodies such as lakes and tanks being encroached upon, close to 200 of them, and converted into residential colonies and commercial complexes. Now, this rapid development in such a short time, so much growth is happening. It has resulted in new buildings blocking drainage channels across the city. Now, new developments were also built in areas that were once ponds or smaller lakes. But this removing of water bodies that could retain water during these periods when there are heavy rainfalls, this is where the water is supposed to be stored, right? But if the tank is not there, if that space for the water to let in and store and sink in is not there, obviously the roads, the houses, the colonies, the communities, the apartments, the garages, the streets, this is where the water will be standing and stagnating and flooding. Now that looks like a lot of problems, but it is true, right? When we are saying that we are having such a beautiful growth and development story, but we are facing so many tragedies repeatedly and it's affecting millions of people and disrupting their life and affecting their health and the overall economy, then we're obviously doing something wrong. And you cannot, at least now, avoid climate change from policy or development. It just can't be a text or some random mention, but it has to be central to every government policy and private planning. Like, it has to involve the entire private sector, the industries, the people, the NGOs, and of course the government. And one more thing I was wondering is, how prepared are the citizens in dealing with such a crisis? Because the government can't reach all the places, and even if it can, not at the exact time of the crisis. It can't be everywhere at the same time. So can we empower people more? Like how everyone in Japan, I read it somewhere a very long time ago, I believe they're trained on how to deal with earthquakes, like even school going students to old people, working people, people just at home. All these people are trained on how to deal with earthquakes. Similarly, can we train the people in our city to be better prepared to, what is it that you need to do in times of disaster so that it's not very chaotic and not too burdensome on just the government? And next is, of course, remodeling and widening of the storm water drains. At least now, I think government should take strict action on how the buildings are constructed and how if every house, every apartment has some mandatory space for greenery. Like, you know, there are some trees and plants and mandatory rainwater harvesting, compost pits. These will ensure that the water at every given place is going into the earth, is going into the soil and not being accumulated or flooding onto the streets. And another thing is relocating all the poor people living on encroached lands, because it is a lose-lose situation where the people do not have safety, do not have the resources and are in an extremely vulnerable situation, while also the government facing the burden of both, you know, financial burden and also the burden of expectation and trying to take care of such vast number of people. Last but not the least is building ecosystems, making sure that trees are planted. All of you in your localities, this is individual action, right? Demanding for parks, a good pavement, urban plantations, and making sure you report on people who are not following the rules, because it just can't be someone else's problem. Because when a climate disaster strikes, it will affect all of us equally. I'll leave you with a closing thought. With all the rains and floods this year, do you think we will have sufficient water in the summer of 2021, where none of us will need a water tanker or wait for alternate days for power supply, and all our rivers and lakes are full of water and they just don't look like dead sand beds where either people are playing cricket or cattle grazing? Will our water bodies be full of water, supplying water to us, and we are all in a healthy ecosystem? Do you think this is possible? On this week's episode, I'm quoting Sir David Attenborough. The truth is, the natural world is changing, and we are totally dependent on that world. It provides our food, water, and air. It is the most precious thing we have, and we need to defend it. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of the Prana Cafe podcast. I hope there were some new things that you learned from this week's episode, some things that you might want to implement, or some ideas that you want to share with others. Whatever it is, you can share your thoughts with me on my social media handle, that is Prathyusha CFA18, PRATHYUSHA CFA18. I'm active on Facebook, Insta and Twitter. You can always message me. And you can find this episode of the Prana Cafe podcast on various platforms such as Anchor FM, Spotify, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast. Do share a message, do leave a review. It means the whole world to me. Until next week, this is Prathyusha Parkala signing off. Take good care of yourself and lots of prayers and sunshine and good health to everyone back home in Hyderabad. Lots of love. Take care. Bye-bye.